Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. So, Ryan, do you like girls?
I mean, I have this girlfriend. I've never met her or seen her, but I've had a lot of long phone conversations with her.
Oh, okay, cool. So you do like girls. All right, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Do you, and you like girls who have leukemia?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's good for PR.
Well, that's seemingly one of the big news stories out of this year's NFL Combine. Is Manti Te'o gay? Can the NFL ask about it? Seems, wow. In the Deadspin article originally, part of what they were saying was that he was known to have a lot of girlfriends on campus at Notre Dame, and that's why there were whispers early on that even if this was his quote-unquote girlfriend, that he wasn't really as broken up as he seemed about it. But maybe there is something to this if all these NFL scouts are concerned about him being gay or not.
Well, now this statement won't be true 10 years down the line, but I think there's one thing that most gay males have in common, and they probably hooked up with a lot of chicks in their early years, probably through college. I mean, if you talk to most gay guys that are, you know, between 30 and 50, they'll tell you they most likely didn't come out of the closet until after college, which means they had a lot of girlfriends in college. And the guy who wrote, the journalist for the San Francisco Chronicle, who came out with this story, as soon as this news, all the news broke, he immediately said that he thought he was gay.
Really?
Yeah.
But now isn't that kind of...
Well, he didn't say it like that. He basically said, like, this is the kind of thing... Like, it just reeked of of the ultimate cover for a guy who is gay in a world that isn't really accepting of gay people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is really, it's bizarre, because if he was, the whole fake girlfriend thing was a cover for being gay, why would he have her die? Wouldn't he just say, we quietly broke up?
Because that prevents people from asking questions.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like he's an 18-year-old, or he's like a 21-year-old jock. He's obviously not that bright.
And he's from Hawaii. I mean, a lot of people from Hawaii are gay, right? Even if they're not out of the closet.
Yeah, they wear Hawaiian shirts. They lay around, you know.
It's like the Los Angeles culture to... times 10, I would imagine. Everything's real laid back. You know, that's code for, that's cool.
Yeah, dude, Hawaii doesn't seem like a very judging state. I don't know why if he was gay, he wasn't out of the closet earlier. But, yeah, I guess football, you're you know, you're worried about people not thinking you're tough. All right, so what else is going on in the combine? Honey bat. Well, and then, of course, Te'o really hurt his case by running a slow 40 time. That didn't really look that good. He said...
I'm still sticking with my under. I don't know if you remember what we talked about, but we basically set the over-under to 32.5.
So basically the first round.
Yeah, and I took the under. I still think he will be a first-round pick.
You think he'll go late first round now?
I think he will go... Yeah, I've read some things that think he's going to go somewhere between 12 and 25 still.
I think he's going to go in the second round.
Okay.
That's my prediction. But I would have to look and see and figure out if any of these teams in the late first round desperately needed a linebacker. But his whole thing was that he brought intangibles to the position, and now seemingly this whole fake girlfriend story, and not having, well, and also he's supposed to be considered a cover linebacker. Like, that's why he's appealing. He had 7 interceptions. I feel like a slow 40 time, that's got to hurt your ability to cover tight ends and the fast. I think he's going to have trouble covering a guy like Rob Gronkowski. I mean, obviously, the majority of the league has trouble covering him, but I feel like the speedier, faster tight ends, a slow 40 times, not a good sign. He's not super big physically. I feel he's like right in the middle of an NFL linebacker, which middle linebacker isn't a good position for you.
Yeah, the 40 time he ran was means he's a 2-down linebacker, and it's hard to take a guy like that in the first round. But Todd McShay made a pretty good point, saying basically, you know, and obviously there's other players who had the same scenario, but he basically played a month longer than, or, you know, 3 weeks longer than most other players. And he was basically saying, like, you know, he wants to see how he looks in his pro day with a couple more weeks to train for this stuff. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a laundry list of people who have not run great middle linebackers who ran poor 40 times. London Fletcher comes to mind, Antonio Pierce. I mean, guys who were...
Yeah, but did they...
Well, the difference
those are
was,
all bigger than Manti Te'o.
I don't... Well, Fletcher's not bigger than him, for sure. Fletcher's small. But the thing that those guys had was leadership. And I don't think Manti Te'o could ever be a leader in the NFL with this story. I just feel like he's going to be clowned constantly.
It's going to be tough to come in. I mean, listen, if you're drafting someone, the way the NFL works right now, if you're drafting someone in the first round, you expect them to start. So what team right now would draft Manti Te'o in the first round and expect him to be a starter at middle linebacker, expect him to come in and captain that defense? I think it's going to be tough for him to win over the respect of the team early on. Now, maybe he was... Listen, at the end of the day, my favorite talk radio line in sports, at the end of the day, if he comes on and he kicks ass and performs really well, all this stuff is going to go by the wayside. But if he isn't a great NFL player and he doesn't succeed, this is going to be seen as the reason.
And I mean, he's still the number 2 middle linebacker on most people's boards. The kid from Georgia, who's much more athletic, is above him, but I don't know. I think it's much to do about nothing. I would be concerned about his leadership qualities, or at least his ability to gain the respect of his teammates.
All right, Ryan, Honey Badger, he put up his combine stuff. Nothing too crazy there. I think he had a pretty solid 40 time, right?
But he only did 4 reps of bench
press. Oh, that's
right.
That's what it was. He only had 4 reps at 225. And someone was saying it's not that he could only do 4 reps at 225. It's that he had this long to prepare, knowing this what was on the combine, and only put up 4 reps. That's really the problem. In the same way that Manti Te'o said all the stress of combine day affected his 40 time, that's just not a good sign of mental toughness or just common sense.
I just don't understand. I mean, then there's the guy who got the DUI like the day before the combine. I don't know. It's just like it seems to happen every year where someone like gets busted for weed or, but at the end of the day, like Jayron Hosley from Virginia Tech tested positive for weed either at the combine or like right before the combine, ended up going from a first round pick to a third round pick by the Giants. And he had a really awesome year. So it's one of those things where it's sometimes those kind of stories can be blown out of proportion, but it does question like how dumb are you? Like,
well, the weed thing, these kids are in college. Maybe he thought, maybe he had it 2-3 weeks ago. He thought it'd be flushed out of his system. That's a little more, like getting a DUI the night before, that's kind of, it's a little less excusable. Like, you gotta have a little bit more sense. But, hey, maybe, you never know. He could have just had a couple beers and was just barely over, especially if you're a big dude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't know. Speaking of NFL stuff.
Alex Smith?
Alex, well, God, I don't understand why they gave up so much for him.
The Chiefs.
Second round and a second round pick this year, which is the first pick in the second round, and a conditional fourth round pick next year that can escalate to a second round pick.
Yeah, well, they were thinking that he was only going to go for like a third round pick, and that might even be a conditional pick. I think, I think it's just a good day, or basically a good offseason to have a starting quarterback like Alex Smith on the table. I mean, it's slim pickings. If you're Andy Reid, you come in there, you basically have two options. You can either draft a quarterback and make Geno Smith your franchise guy, or go out and try to get one of these other kind of starters out there. I mean, Alex Smith has been to an NFC championship. He was he had the number one QB rating when he was replaced. So, and I think Reid looks at a guy like Alex Smith, who intelligent, responds well to good coaching, high completion percentage. I think he realizes, hey, this is a good guy to build a system around. They have some veteran skill players. I think it's actually kind of a good move by the Chiefs.
It's Andy Reid. I if there's one guy I would have confidence, creating a system for a quarterback, he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. I mean, their other options were what? Matt Flynn?
Yeah, you had
Matt. Matt Flynn's going to end up with the Jaguars.
You could have traded for Matt Flynn or Alex Smith. You could have drafted Barkley or Geno Smith. Or you could have gone after, the two free agent quarterbacks, which were Joe Flacco, who wasn't leaving Baltimore. And so now, speaking of great timing, our guy, Matt Moore, is now the number one free agent quarterback, basically.
Yeah,
he's going to get a good – they're expecting him to get $5 million a year.
He can be a starter in this league. So I think Matt Moore could be a 9 to 10 win starter if he's placed on the right team. Like even Arizona, if I was Arizona, I'd be looking at a guy like Matt Moore.
Arizona is quote unquote doing their research on Matt Castle.
Matt Moore.
Speaking of the Cardinals, there was a funny headline today. I pulled up ESPN and the headline just said, I think it said something along the lines of, Bradley Gay released. And I was just like, oh, interesting. But another interesting news story, coming back to the current, did you see that the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, came out and kind of threw Bill Polian, or whatever his name is, under the Bill Polian, saying that Polian wanted to trade Peyton Manning in 2004.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, now that was their old GM.
Yeah, he's the guy who's on ESPN now, yeah.
Yeah.
But so we haven't really talked about it, but so of course my Giants, they cut a couple key players, including Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yes.
Who it kind of stinks, because Bradshaw was kind of a gamer. He's one of those guys that, he always showed up. But the more interesting story that I read about was Nnamdi Asamoah. They talked about how he did not even eat lunch in the Eagles facility with his teammates. He would take his lunch out to his car and eat it.
When? During the season?
During the season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that it sounded like there was that whole the defensive line guy, the defensive line coach for the Eagles was totally,
Washburn
was undermining Juan Castillo the whole time, calling him Juanita. And, yeah, I mean, there was obviously a lot of chemistry problems going on in the Eagles. The whole thing kind of unraveled. So hearing stories about weird stuff like that doesn't surprise me.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
he's going to have to pack his lunch a lot nowadays with a restructured contract, because he's not going to be getting any.
Oh, it sounds like he doesn't want to stay with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with getting rid of Nnamdi
Asamoah. So did you kidding me? Have you looked at mock drafts yet?
I've kind of glanced here and there. Originally, it sounded like the Eagles were going to go O-lineman. Now it sounds like they might go cornerback.
So, I've looked at a couple, and the consensus seems to be that they're going to grab an offensive lineman.
Yeah. The early stuff I heard said they were going to get that Jokel guy. I think he was the tackle for Johnny Football. And
yep. Going first now.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's going to be the Chief. I'd be surprised if the Chiefs don't trade down, but
I think they will, because
who's going to want to trade up? Just there's not that quarterback this year that makes it like,
yeah, who's this like number one skill position star that's going to come out of this class? I don't see it yet.
Well, I think if you count cornerbacks, I think this D. Miller kid is going to be D. Milner from Alabama.
I think
good.
That's who the Eagles were talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's who they have if they do go cornerback. But other than that, if you go through it, you really don't see a running back or wide receiver until like the middle of the first round, which is it's pretty interesting. That's kind
of yeah,
different.
It's a change of pace. Well, my take is on the Eagles. I'm down with them. I would kind of support them getting a cornerback. It depends a lot on the health of the offensive linemen. These guys coming off these, I mean, they missed they were missing like three or four offensive starters for majority of the season. So, how's Jason Peters' ACL doing? That kind of stuff. I mean, that's I don't know. Is he going to come back? I mean, they're all scheduled to come back, but it's how diminished are they going to be? What are we talking about? Like, how healthy are these offensive linemen? If they all come back to full health, then, yeah, I say get a cornerback. If not, maybe it's time to grab a first rounder.
I've also seen some mock drafts that have the Eagles taking a D lineman.
Well, yeah, they just released Colin Jenkins, so maybe they're going to look to bolster up the defensive line.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Ryan, let's see here. You want to shoot over to college basketball?
Yeah, is there much to talk? I mean, have you been following college? Before we start talking about it, have you been watching college basketball at all here and there?
I have been. I've been catching some scores, watching some games here and there. Supposedly, I read a New York Times article that said scoring was at a historic low this season.
Well, I don't know if I've talked about it on the show, but the plan, I kind of did it last year, but this year I'm going full board. First round game, so all the games on Thursday and Friday, I'm taking the under in every single game.
Now, how many games is that going to be? What, 32?
Yes, 32 games.
Okay.
And I believe last year it came in at whatever 60% would be, right around, I guess, 20 and 12 maybe. So, yeah, I think that only helps the argument. I think the teams are...
Now, what do you think that... Why do you think scoring's gone down so much in college basketball? I mean, on the outside, it seems like, okay, A, all these good shooters or good players are leaving, and B, between the one and dones and guys leaving early, it's hard to build chemistry, and that affects scoring.
I think that's definitely got to be a factor. I think the other interesting thing about this year is how – now, I never follow college basketball that closely until the conference tournaments, but I can't remember a year – that I feel like they're going into conference tournaments, which start next week, I believe. There are probably 10 to 15 teams that like have legitimate shots. Like, there isn't that dominant team this year.
Yeah, I think number one has lost 7 times this year.
Every time. Like, Indiana is definitely a juggernaut, but they keep losing. Duke.
Yeah.
You know, you look at all the teams that have made it to the basically, it's been a mix of... You got Florida, you got some ACC teams, you got some Big Ten teams.
Yeah, I mean, you got Miami. They've looked really good, but then have also lost. It's
Michigan, who was number one at one point, just lost to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, even Pitt, who has kind of had a nice little run there, outside shot, they started losing. Notre Dame has showed moments of looking good, but also they seem like kind of a paper tiger.
Yeah, it's really interesting this year. I'm excited. I feel like you learn the most when conference tournaments come around, because then you start seeing the elite teams play the elite teams a little bit more, and you get a feel for who's going
to
be
it's
what.
It's good also to see teams coming off one day rest, or yeah.
Or having to play three games in 6 days.
You know? Or just short rest. So like a team wins on Thursday in the tournament, they play on Saturday. You can see a similar scheduling in conference tournaments.
We know that we. One of the automatic bets for me is to take Michigan State that second weekend.
Yeah.
Izzo is one of the
second day.
Sorry, the second day.
Or the second round.
Or any time it's short rest, so it could be the second weekend too. But on those weekend games, he's one of the best short turnaround time coaches.
Yeah, that's what we always talk about when it comes to betting college basketball. You want to get the guys. Yeah, in that second day guys who are good coaches, because you're not going to see a lot of tape. I mean, obviously they're trying to plan ahead to some degree, but with the number of upsets and stuff like that and installing a game plan, getting these kids ready, good coaching seems to make a huge difference.
So I'm looking at the rankings right now. And so I'll use the AP. Indiana is number one. They definitely have a shot. Gonzaga, number two. They've been a really good team this year. Duke has a shot. Michigan, Miami can play with the best of them. Kansas, Georgetown, Florida, Michigan State, Louisville. That's the top 10. Each one of those teams has a shot to win the championship. Yeah. When's the last time that the top 10, like, you don't, there isn't that top tier? And this year, I feel like there isn't that top tier. I mean, everyone has, but Gonzaga has two losses. They play in a weaker
conference.
Here's
the thing, Ryan. I think we're going to look back after the champion's been crowned, and we're going to say there was a chance you could have got this team that won the title at 100-1.
Yeah.
And it might not be a crazy upset. It might be a team that just kind of came on of late. But I bet you there's going to be a bet out there that you could have said, oh, man, if I would have got on this early, I could have had 100-1 on it.
I mean, Syracuse, not 100-1, but they're 12th. I mean, even Pitt, they've been playing well.
Pitt's 20th. Probably at what? Like, what's Pitt's odds right now? 40-1?
Yeah, I can pull them up while we're talking here. But even schools like St. Louis, I mean, great coach. There's just a lot of – it'll be interesting because there's going to be a lot of really good matchups in day one. And the first round is going to be really exciting this year, which, I mean, not that it's not exciting, but I don't know. I'm excited. All right, let's see here. To win the championship. Let's see who the favorite is. Indiana plus 450. And then you have like eight schools that are 8-1. There's a lot of schools. So who are we looking for?
Let's look for a team. Well, I think we're saying Syracuse and Pitt.
Syracuse 15-1.
Pitt?
Speaking of the Big East, or those teams aren't the Big East. But the Catholic schools in the Big East have retained the name Big East, which is cool. Because I feel like the Big East should remain the Big East in basketball, even though the football side really stinks. So Pittsburgh's 60-1.
Wow. Feels like, what, you throw $50, especially if you're a Pittsburgh fan, throw $50 on Pitt to win the championship right now, $3,000.
It just seems high. I mean, VCU is 25th. They're 75-1. And they have the coaching pedigree, at least.
Yeah, what'd they get to Final Four last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, shit, Ohio State is a good team. They're 25-1.
Yeah, this is the year where right now you should be getting out the top 25, kind of looking at these teams and figuring that sweet spot. Because there's probably some value in like a 25-50-1 long shot.
It's pretty remarkable how many teams are between 8 and 15-1.
All right, Ryan, let's hop over to the NBA. Check out, give a little weekend picks action. Monte Ellis, big news in the NBA this past week, put up 54 in a loss against your New York Knicks.
You mean Stephen Curry?
Yes. Yeah,
I thought you were going, because Monte Ellis did also have, he had a game-winning shot. Of course. It was against, who was it against? The New Orleans Hornets, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I have over win total for the New Orleans Hornets, so I can't have them losing buzzer beaters to the Milwaukee Bucks. All right. We'll pull up some lines. And also, my Lakers will not make the playoffs is getting dangerous.
I know. They're nipping heels, Ryan. They're getting
hot. I almost feel
bit.
Like I should bet. They also have a bet that they will lose in the conference finals. I feel like they're going to. If they get in and play the Spurs in the first round, they're going to beat the Spurs. Anyway, all right, so we got some Saturday action. I don't know if this is the full slate of games. This is just what we have lines on. Ooh, the Golden State, man, they've turned into a pretty solid team, huh?
Yeah, they'll have David
Lee
back,
right? Did
you
see the highlights of Stephen Curry?
No.
Going on?
I just was listening on the radio.
It was like rec league. I mean, he's just throwing up shots from
everywhere. 11 from 13 from three-point range.
But you can't – one man cannot beat a great team, guys. And the New York Knicks prevailed. And Tyson Chandler had like some ridiculous 28-rebound game.
They got a lot of veterans.
Golden State heads to Philly, where they're only plus one. I have no idea what the rest situation is. I'm betting against Philly. I think Philly.
Golden State, man. Philly has been awful. They lost seven in a row, and I think they might be like 0-7 against the spread right now. So definitely go against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, look at this. The Nets head to Chicago, where Chicago's minus five. I feel like the Nets have played Chicago well this year. Chicago is kind of. Although, did you see what Joakim Noah did the other night?
Yeah, against the Sixers.
He had a 20-20-10 game.
He had 21 blocks.
It's only been done like by five or six people in the...
How is Joakim Noah good? I don't understand it. He has no fluidity to his game, and this guy is he's the epitome of hustle. He looks weird, but he just plays basketball with intensity. It just shows you how little NBA guys must try if Joakim Noah can dominate like that.
Yeah, it also makes a little more sense how that Florida team was able to go back-to-back. Because they had Joakim Noah and...
I thought he would be like the ultimate glue guy, but this guy is turning himself into like a franchise all-star player. Can you imagine how good the Bulls would be now if they got Rose back and he was healthy? They could make a legit... The way Joakim Noah is playing right now, if they got a healthy Derrick Rose, I think they... I don't know, man. That would be scary to go... If I was the Heat, I'd be kind of scared of something like that.
Well, so on that Florida team, his running mate was Al Horford, who's also having a great season for the Hawks. Interesting how deep they were.
Yeah. All right. What else do we got?
All right. Let's see here. I'll take the Nets there. By the way, I think the Nets will be too much for the Bulls. All right, Raptors head to the Milwaukee.
I like Bulls there, -5.
I'm going to take the dog again. I think the Raptors, with Rudy Gay, have been playing a lot better. I like what they're doing.
What's the spread?
5.
Milwaukee's getting 5?
Milwaukee's getting given 5 at home.
Oh, yeah, give me the Raptors +5. That's not a very far travel.
All right, last up. Timberwolves head to Portland, where Portland's laying 10. I don't care. It's too much. Portland's not a good team this year.
Give me the T-Wolves. Yeah, Portland has not looked great. They're not going to be able to cover 10 points. Lock it up.
That's it, man.
That's it.
That's all we got.
All right, Ryan. Well,
so should we promo the baseball preview?
Sure. When are we going to be doing the baseball preview?
Well, real quick, before we do that, Lakers will miss the playoffs, even money. Lakers will lose in the first round, -110. Lakers lose in the second round, +800. Lakers lose in the conference finals, 10-1.
There's no value in that.
You're right, there isn't.
I mean, you could just take them as an underdog. Lakers that get to the conference final, I feel like if you just bet it and kept like a mechanical parlay, it would be a lot more than 10-1. Especially that first round, they'll be huge dogs.
But yeah, so... baseball season right around the corner.
Yes.
I feel like we should do a preview.
All right. Do our over-under preview.
Yeah. I think we should do it early, like next week.
Okay.
And then we can rerun it right before the season. I just think because the prices of the win totals are going to change a lot. Some of the division, it's very interesting. Like Toronto basically overhauled their whole team. The Blue Jays are the favorite to win the AL East this year. This is the first time that I can remember since I've been betting. The Yankees are +225.
Wow.
Yeah.
To win what?
Just the East.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, I guess they got injury issues.
It's more Toronto. They picked up Josh Johnson, R.A. Dickey. They picked up...
Yeah, and like A-Rod's leadership. He's just not going to be there. When you lose a clubhouse guy like A-Rod...
I got to be honest. I don't know how I feel about Kevin... Probably one of my least favorite players of all time. Played for the Red Sox for many years. Kevin Youkilis will now be starting at third base for the Yankees.
It's pretty awesome. Okay, Ryan, so it sounds like we got the baseball preview coming up. We got the conference titles preview as well. Basically, we are just counting down time till March Madness. And Ryan, you know what we got for March Madness? The Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirts. So this podcast is posted on Saturday. Hopefully, I'll have the website up to purchase the t-shirts up pretty soon. So,
We should also then promo our March Madness bracket.
Yes.
So we'll have to talk about it with the board. Take it to the chairman and see what kind of prizes we're going to offer. But there will be prizes.
Prizes, t-shirts, the whole nine. And, of course, we will be out in beautiful Las Vegas for the first weekend of March Madness. So we'll have a little promos out there. So if you guys want to come meet up, if you come meet up in Las Vegas.
Oh, you'll get a t-shirt.
Get a free t-shirt. You'll get a beer. And you'll get a high five with me and Real Money Kramer. All right, Ryan, I think that's about it. Stay tuned, of course, to the Twitter at Gambling Podcast, and always check us out online, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Hit that Amazon link. Always appreciate the love there. Stitcher, iTunes, the whole nine for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan.
Well, Sean, sorry, got to chime in. I don't know the exact date. It could be this weekend. It could be next. Our horse Flashback is running again at Santa Anita. I'm not sure if it's this weekend or next. Check out the Twitter feed. But this horse is a gray derby contender. Went off at a 16-1 long shot to win the derby. It's now down to, last I looked, 5-1. So we'll tweet it out. If you want some free money, we'll bet on the horse together.
Kramer, let it ride.